If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 in the New Living Translation. I want to get that out there so that way I didn't give them my scriptures ahead of time. So 1 Samuel 17, we're going to be there the whole time tonight, New Living Translation. You know, some people might wonder, well, how do you decide what you're going to minister on and how does that work? I don't know. Sometimes you just come up with things. But I'm going to tell you about tonight. So tonight's message, last week, my little granddaughter came home with some figures. And she was at her pre-K studying the story about David and Goliath. And so she was showing me all her little figures there. And actually, there was a rock that they had there that actually had 1 Samuel 17 on it. And, you know, just a little story. And then from that story, I began to just kind of think about the story about David and Goliath. In my own mind, I was actually even thinking about some things that we really don't even think about anymore. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to take Bible stories and relook at them and try to put them in more of a, you know, think about today. And I mean, I just get a lot out of stuff that I know I've heard over and over and over again. Of course, we all know the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so today I want to look at David and Goliath. And I'm sure most of you probably know the story. And that's why you don't listen anymore, because you know the story. But, you know, remember Paul Harvey used to have the rest of the story? You know, sometimes we think we know the story and we didn't. In fact, I read some things even today. Actually, I was actually preparing my message. And even today, I read some more things. And I'm thinking, man, I'd never even seen that in that story. You know, and it's not just a story. You know, we use the term Bible stories because but these are put in the Bible for a reason, for us to learn from, for us to glean different things. And so 1 Samuel 17, and I'm going to start with verse number 4. Now, you have to understand, too, some of you folks that are older, and I'm putting myself in the older category, don't like to do it, but I am. You know, a lot of us older folks, we've heard these stories over and over again. Some of the younger folks have not heard all these stories because, you know, whenever they were in children's church, they played video games. Now, I'm not saying here at Raymond we don't play video games in children's church, but some people do. You know, the trend with young people now, it seems in both the children's and the youth area, not at our church, but in a lot of churches, is let's babysit the kids while the parents get something. You know, but that doesn't do any good. You know, and that's why we have to put the word on the inside of them. But it is interesting, and I think a lot of the teachers here at Raymond will agree with me, you know, things that we would think that everyone knows in the Bible, we have to explain them now to our younger generation. You know, and sometimes if we don't explain them, they come up and ask questions. They're like, I've never heard that. I'm like, really? You never heard about David and Goliath? You know, so, well, I think one time on VeggieTales I saw that, you know. And something else I do point out, you know, and I'm not making fun of VeggieTales or any kind of other animated thing, but because of so many animated cartoons or Bible stories, people think Bible stories and, you know, and nursery rhymes and stuff are all the same thing. It's just, you know, it's Shaq and the Beanstalk, it's David and Goliath, you know, it's, you know, the three little bears, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, it's, but Bible stories are not nursery rhymes, are not fairy tales. I mean, they actually happened. I mean, I've even had, you know, some kids say, did that really happen or were you just preaching? Well, no, it actually happened. I mean, you know, the Bible actually is a history book to tell us things that happened to help us, you know, for our future. And a lot of times, you know, kids don't even get that. When I say kids, I'm talking about young adults. And I believe it's important for us to actually look at the story. And then, you know, looking from the New Living Translation gives us a little bit more. So verse number 4, 1 Samuel 17, talks about Goliath. It says, then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. Now, I looked it up, and the tallest NBA stars were like 7'7", 7 feet, 7 inches. The tallest guy in the NBA, I can't read his name. He's from Romania. But the second guy, I know his name is Monute Bol or Monute, whatever. Monute, whatever. Anyway, the point is 7'7". So, you know, Goliath is over a foot and a half taller than the tallest guy in the NBA. Now, think about this, a basketball goal being 10 foot. I mean, think about, I mean, how unfair if you had Goliath on your team. I mean, you know, he doesn't even have to think about jumping to dunk the ball. You know, and some people say, well, how did he get that big? I don't know. I mean, you know, how do people get that big? I don't know. Why did people live so long in the Old Testament? I don't know. All right, if you want to know, Google it yourself. But you still won't know because I've Googled it. All right. But, anyway, he was over 9 feet tall. So let's picture that, I mean, a lot of times ceilings are only 8 feet tall. A high ceiling might be 10 foot tall or 12 foot tall. I mean, think about how hard it would. You have to build a special house for you. I mean, I know, you know, it's really big to have these little houses now, but he had to have a big house, you know, because, I mean, you know, just couldn't fit. But it goes on to say, said he wore a bronze helmet and a bronze coat of mail weighing 125 pounds. So basically, his body armor weighed 125 pounds. 125 pounds. I mean, you think about that. I mean, think about carrying an extra 125 pounds on your body at all times. I mean, that alone would be a workout. I mean, just to carry 125 pounds extra, or extra, we could say, on your body, you know. And then someone's thinking, well, if you're that big, why do you even need body armor? But, you know, whatever. So he, you know, then he says he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, however thick that is. You know, we all have weaver's beams at home, I'm sure. But the point that it's in the Bible means it was really thick. All right, it was like a big beam. But this is, it says, and the spearhead weighed 15 pounds. All right, 15 pounds. So, you know, heavier than a bowling ball. You know, I'm trying to give you some, you know, I mean, I don't know what poundage bowling ball that you throw. Most of you probably don't know either because you haven't gone bowling in years. But I mean, 15 pounds alone at the head of that spear. So, I mean, think about just getting hit with a bowling ball, but much less get hit with a bowling ball traveling at a long distance that's sharp on the end. I mean, you know, it would hurt. All right. Anyway, his armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. So this guy had his own shield man. I mean, you know, now I don't know how this guy actually carried a shield. I mean, think how big a shield must be. So, but the good part about it is this guy was probably behind the whole shield. I mean, you couldn't even see this man because he was behind the shield, you know, so, I don't know, but you know, he had his own armor bearer, just like a lot of other people do. All right. Anyway, so what did Goliath do every day? It says verse number 8, Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you coming out to fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. I mean, they were afraid of just the man talking. All right. Now, I don't know. You know, later on in life, Saul and the Israelites probably could have never watched professional wrestling, you know, because they might get afraid, because that's all they did. Professional wrestling, the guy would get on, you know, on there, talk about how they're going to beat up that person, beat up somebody else, and whatever, you know, Hulk Hogan and The Rock and all these different guys from generation after generation. I mean, but Goliath was the original trash talker. He was the original big man, you know, so he would come out there for every day and defy the armies of Israel and everybody would be afraid. Now, you know, and I get it, he's a big guy, but, you know, it seems at some point in time, maybe somebody would actually challenge him. But I guess Saul probably didn't want anyone to challenge him, because if they lose, then they all become slaves. So I don't know. But verse 16 says this: for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. So for 40 days, this guy flat out irritated everybody, morning and night. I mean, you know, how many of you have kids, or, you know, had kids, or are you still, you know, I mean, your kids might be growing up now, but you had kids or grandkids at your house, and, you know, when they begin to scream and talk, they get irritating after a while, even though you love them. But imagine how irritating it would be for 40 days to hear this guy out there, you know, defiling the army of Israel, telling them what kind of losers they are and things. I mean, you know, probably pretty irritating. Anyway, goes on to talk about David. You know, as we all know, David was the youngest brother. And his dad told him, said, hey, why don't you go out there to the, you know, to your brothers and give them some food and find out how things are going and, you know, check on everything. So he said he left the sheep with somebody else, and he went down to check out, see what's going on with the fight there. Anyway, so skipping down to verse 23. So here we are, David, he's there with the army there, you know, and evidently he must not know what's going on, so he must have not visited in the last 40 days. You know, you have to understand, see, sometimes that we think about things in our own timing. I mean, you realize, you know, we can be across the world in a few hours. And I know I complain sometimes, you know, it took me 24 hours, you know, to get to this location or whatever. You know, but I'm thousands of miles away. You know, 24 hours is no time. You know, now back then, I mean, you know, they have to walk everywhere. Maybe you have a donkey or two or whatever, but, you know, we didn't have, you know, cars, planes, boats, things like that. I mean, it took a long time. So obviously, you know, 40 days might seem like a long time, over a month, but he hasn't visited his brothers. You know, probably, well, some of us don't, you know, if you don't live where your family is, you might not see him for 40 days, might be 3 or 4 months. So, you know, David has, you know, and understand, we're used to having so much media, we know what's going on when it happens around the world. Doesn't matter. Rocket Man decides to launch a rocket, and we know about it immediately. You know, I mean, that's just the way our news goes. You know, back then, I mean, news didn't travel that fast. Evidently, David had no clue what was going on. And so we have to think about that. You know, he didn't walk up and saying, you know, I know about this Goliath. He didn't know anything. So, I mean, this is all new to him. He just showed up on the scene. And remember, you know, David's a young kid. I mean, probably around 17 years of age or so. I mean, you know, 17. Think about you at 17. How cool you were. Emphasis on were, you know, or maybe how nerdy you were, I don't know, you know, how awkward you might have been. Anyway, so he's there, and he's talking with them, some of the other soldiers and his brothers. He says, verse number 23, as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright, saying, have you seen this, the giant? The men asked. He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes. I mean, think about that. Think about, you know, forget about the wife thing. Think about not paying taxes for the rest of your life. Not just you, but the rest of your whole family. All your kids and whatever. And on top of that, you get to find, you know, you don't have to go looking for a wife. You get to marry the king's daughter. So, which is probably a lot of benefits with that, all right? You know, so, and maybe, you know, so So then David, verse 26, asked a soldier standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending the defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan anyway that is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" See, you know, we talk about knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, but David was like, you know what? Aren't we the army of God? Isn't this guy coming against the army? He understood, David understood one thing. He understood that Goliath was not coming against an individual person. You know, he was coming against the army of God. He understood that he was a part of the army of God. But we us have to understand that we are all a part of the army of God. And, you know, we have been bought with a price. Now, I understand we live in a different covenant and you know, things like that, but still, we have to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. We have to understand our rights and authority. You know, just like David understood, you know, even in the covenant he lived in, he still understood, I'm a part of the army of God. I'm an Israelite. I'm God's chosen people. He knew who he was. And because he knew who he was, and he knew who his God was. See, it's, we have to understand who our God is. We have to understand, you know, what's behind us. Because they weren't attacking Saul. I mean, Saul was just a king. They were attacking the army of God. And that's different. That's different. I mean, you know, because, you know, David knew that you know, what God doesn't want his army attacked. He knows that. You know, just like Jesus doesn't want his family attacked either. That's why we were given authority in the name of Jesus to come against the attack. That's why we don't have to run away. I mean, you know, so the Israelites ran away just by someone talking. But the Bible says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, and understand this. So, of course, they replied, you know, yes, that's the reward for killing him. So verse 28, but when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway, he demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know all about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. So he was like, you know, telling David, go home. Go take care of your little sheep. You know, we don't need you around here. You're just a little pesky old kid. And you understand, you know, but that's not unlike any older brother and younger brother situation. I mean, you know, that's just how you see each other, especially whenever you're growing up. Like, man, you're just a little kid. You know, go home and take care of your little sheep. You know, but, David just said, well, I was just asking a question. And said he walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. So here we are at verse 32. Here we are. David comes in front of King Saul. And here's what David said. I mean, you know, he walked up. Understand, we're talking about a little kid, you know, a high schooler, basically. He says, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. All right. So Saul said, don't be ridiculous. Basically, you know, he said, are you an idiot? You realize that you're smaller than any of these soldiers out here? And I don't know if you know what David is like. You do not have a machine gun. In fact, you don't even have any armor. You don't have, you know, armor on or armor all or Under Armour or any kind of armor. You're like standing here in front of me in shorts and flip-flops. I don't know if he's wearing shorts or flip-flops, but it sounds good anyway. Kids of today's generation wear. So, you know, he's like, don't be ridiculous. Are you crazy? He said, there's no way. There is no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly won't win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. So basically, he said, he's been fighting battles for longer than you are old. You know, because, see, Saul was looking at outward appearance.
Yeah, that's right.
And we have to understand it's not about what it looks like on the outside. You know, Saul was also looking at logic and reason. And we have to understand, you know, sometimes, I mean, we should be educated. Like I said, I try to educate myself all the time. And, you know, not only did I go to school, not only do I have a college degree, but I'm always looking up stuff, you know, on Google because I just want to know. I want to educate myself about different things. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you have to take your knowledge and education and throw it out the window because it doesn't matter because you know you're God. And, you know, but sometimes it seems that we forget about our God because we're looking at our Goliath. We're looking at our obstacles, like Dad says. We're looking at the things that are coming against us. And we're so busy looking at what's coming against us. And we're so busy looking at what's irritating us. And we're so busy trying to figure out how we are going to win this battle that we forget that Jesus has already won the battle. We forget about who we are in Christ Jesus. We forget that all we have to do is call upon his name, you know, and he's there for us. We forget about who we are in Christ. We forget about we're part of God's army. We forget about anything because we're too busy looking at our Goliath.
Amen.
Because Goliath is big.
Yeah.
And Goliath is ugly. And Goliath, you know, has a big shield. And Goliath has this and Goliath has that. And Goliath, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But you know what? You understand that it doesn't have to be a big thing to hurt you either. You know. Sometimes we're well. That's no big deal. You know, but we have to understand that when something comes against us, who we are,
amen.
Where we come from,
amen.
You know. And the thing about it is, when things come against you, a lot of times, you know, your mind, your first thing you think in your mind, how am I going to deal with it? And what am I going to do because this is too big for me? And so then you sit around for sleepless nights figuring out, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And, you know, you don't get rest, you don't get sleep. And you know what happens when you don't get rest and you don't get sleep and you're worried all the time? You usually get sick. So not only do you have financial issues or this issue or that issue, you're also now starting to have some health issues, you know, or people's whenever they have what they call a nervous breakdown. And I'm not making fun of nervous breakdowns. I mean, you know, people literally break down because they don't know what they're going to do. And that's the problem. You have to decide that it's not about you doing anything. And that's the whole purpose, is to understand your God. Understand that he's for you. And if God be for you, who cares who's against you? Because it does not matter. It doesn't matter how big your Goliath is. It doesn't matter, you know, how little that you might look in their sight. It doesn't matter, you know, if they have a loud voice. Or it doesn't matter, you know, if they're irritating. It doesn't matter. And what's interesting about it is that none of the army of Israel, including the king, ever got this. Somebody from the outside, and we all know, I get it, you know, David was anointed, whatever, but he had to come from the outside, and he came from a different perspective. You know, and sometimes you need someone to walk in and give you a different perspective. And that's why it's important, you know, to get into church. That's important to hear the word of God. Because you know what? You know, me and the other pastors, we're not standing in your living room when you're opening up your bills. All right? You know, we're not next to you whenever, you know, you get the result from, you know, from your medical test or when you're standing at your doctor's office. You know, and I understand, man, you know, I'm a real person just like you, and I understand, you know, facts. I understand figures. I understand, you know, whenever something looks big, it looks like it's impossible. But then I also understand what the Bible says. And I thank God for the heritage that I have, that I grew up in. You know, I thank God that from a young age, all I knew was what the Bible said. And because of what I know, you know, it's been ingrained in me. It's a whole lot easier to take whenever I get the Goliath news. You know, because, you know, and I thank God for that heritage. You know, and not, I understand not all of you have the same heritage that I had. Not all of you, you know, some of you have just maybe recently even got saved. You know, some of your parents didn't teach this. I mean, your grandparents didn't teach this. You didn't know this. You know, but then I also look back at my grandfather. He didn't know it either. Whenever he was on a deathbed, you know, he didn't know the word. But just by simply reading the Bible, he got the word. And I'm going to stop right here and tell you this. I'm speaking again in 2 weeks from today, and we'll have part two of the Goliath story because I'm not going to finish in the next 8 minutes. All right. So 2 weeks from tonight will be part two because I'm not going to make myself finish in 8 minutes because I feel I have more to say than 8 minutes worth. All right. And then nothing wrong. I mean, I get why we have our power, and that's fine. Well, we'll be back here in 2 weeks, and we'll finish more of the story. I'm going to take the rest of my 8 minutes, so before you know, tonight. But you know, but sometimes, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. Sometimes because we want to get done in an hour, we don't go in depth in some of the things we need to say. You know, because I plan to be way farther along in my story. You know, than it's not my story, by the way. But. But, you know, God was just speaking. You know, some of you are staring at a Goliath and you're forgetting about your God. You know, and some of you, it just hit you tonight. You haven't realized because you didn't realize that was a 9-foot-tall bill. You know, and, you know, my mom is a very visual person. She has to see it. You know, that's why we have to make cardboard cutouts of furniture here and we have to do all this kind of stuff and lay things out. And it's true. That's why my mom has 58 million pieces of carpet in her, maybe that's my little exaggeration, but they'll tell you, she has lots of pieces of carpet in her office. Slightly different, I mean, there are probably 28 shades of this of gray, I guess, that I've never seen before. I mean, mom has them all in the carpet. I'm not lying, such slightly difference. I'm like, I don't know the difference. I couldn't tell you the difference in this gray and that gray and another gray. And looks gray to me. But anyway, and I get it. We all face the same devil, and I bring it up all the time. You know, but sometimes, you know, we're so busy looking at our Goliath that we forget about our God. You know, but sometimes, actually, unfortunately, we don't have good friends. Unfortunately, we have friends like David's older brother and friends like Saul. You know, Saul said, you cannot go against that Philistine and win. I mean, now here's what's really blows my mind, all right? Because of my upbringing, it blows my mind when good Christian people will tell you cannot do this. There's no way you're going to be able to do this. All knowing and all can quoting the same scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. They can quote that in a heartbeat, but they'll tell you can't do it. That blows my mind. How can you quote something, you know, that you don't believe and act like you do? Because you either have to believe it or don't believe it. Because I guarantee you, most every one of you can quote that scripture and probably has quoted a scripture many times. But, you know, there's been a lot of times that we've told people they cannot do this. You know, because it seems unreasonable. And I get it. It does seem unreasonable. It seems unreasonable for a little boy to go against a Goliath. But the point is, there's something behind that little boy. You know, the same God yesterday, today, and forever, God that changed us not, he was there behind that little boy. But the thing is that we have the same God with us when we face our Goliath of a bill or Goliath of a problem. You know, whatever it might be, for us, you know, a Goliath might be 10,000, it might be 100,000, depends on who you are and where you're at. But your Goliath also might be terminal cancer. You know, I mean, it might be whatever. You know, a Goliath is something that seems impossible to defeat. And a Goliath will make you try to figure out, what are you going to do? And that's the problem. The problem is you have to quit trying to figure out what you're going to do, and you have to understand you already have the answer. It's already been given to you. I have the answer on the inside. You know, and I always like, I joke about it, but we even used to sing it. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. You know, so I'm telling you that I know the answer, but then I'm telling you I have a problem, and I have a problem with that because you either have the answer or you have a problem. You cannot have both. Now, the problem is that whenever you have a problem, you forget about the answer because you're too busy dealing with the problem. And you have to, in your own mind, that's when you have to put aside your thoughts. And I get it. Natural emotion is normal. I mean, it's normal to face a Goliath and think, what am I going to do? That's natural emotion. But at some point in time, you have to train your brain or train your thought life to, you know what? When natural emotion comes, it's okay to think for that for a second. And you know what? My grandfather, you guys call him Brother Hagin, so I always refer to him as Brother Hagin, so you know who I'm talking about. You know, he would say this, and many of you heard him. You talk about, you know, well, I haven't had a headache in 33 years and too late to start having headaches now, or you would ever hear him say that kind of statement. Of course, the years would go up and up and more. But then he would say these words, but I've passed up many marvelous opportunities to have one. So I actually asked him one time, what is a marvelous opportunity to have a headache? I flat out, we were driving the car and I just asked him, I said, you know what, you say this many times, you know, and so sometimes, you know, sometimes we don't make things clear so people don't understand. The marvelous opportunity, he told me, he said, many times my head would start hurting. All right. Well, wait a minute, he hadn't had a headache in 33 years. No, he hadn't had a headache that stayed in 33 years. What happened is as soon as his head would start hurting, he would immediately take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And he would pass up his marvelous opportunity to have a headache. But how many times have we had marvelous opportunities and we just have it? And I'm not talking about a headache, you know. I mean, most of you can deal with a headache. I'm talking about your Goliath. You know what? We have a marvelous opportunity to let our Goliath destroy us. Or we can come against it. But it's really your choice. I mean, for 40 days, this guy stood up there and he said, send me somebody. Send me someone to battle. And for 40 days, nobody wanted to step up. You know, but then one day, a little kid decides, you know what? I'll go. And the only difference is the little kid knew who his God is. And he knew that he was part of the Israelite army. And he knew who he was fighting for. He knew who his family was. And I'm not talking about his family, just, you know, the family of David, which actually is an anointed family. But I'm talking about, you know, he knew he was part of God's family. You know, but the thing about it, you know that. You know, I mean, I guarantee you, most of you, because, you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you can quote the word. But so many times, we're letting our Goliath I mean, we're fighting a Goliath battle in our own minds. Because really, ultimately, if it's a real Goliath, you can't do anything about it. And that's the reason that no one else went out to fight, because they knew that they could not succeed on their own. But you're not fighting on your own. You're not fighting on your own. And even to use an Old Testament example, remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Whenever they were thrown in the fiery furnace, we found out that they weren't on their own because there was a fourth man in the fire with them that they couldn't see until they got into the fire. But whenever they're in the fire, he was there too. And the thing about it, you have to understand, when you're battling your Goliath, you have somebody with you. You're not fighting alone. You're not fighting a Goliath. You're not fighting anything by yourself. And the thing about it is, it's a whole lot easier to get through it if you know it's just not you. Now, I believe that not only should we have our God fighting with us, we should surround ourselves with many other believers that will be with you and stand with you, you know, in your weakness. When you're weak, you know, they can help you. And I think, you know, my grandfather said one of the biggest reasons why people have issues is because they're not in a good local church. Now, I understand I'm preaching to the choir, because if you're here on Wednesday night, you're probably a really good church member. But he said one of the most, you know, the thing is we have to get into a local church to get around other believers. And you know what he was referring to is not just come and be a back row Christian and never talk to anybody, but to meet other people and have fellowship together. You know, I mean fellowship more than shaking their hand three times, you know, and walking out the door. You know, and the great thing about it, because of social media and things like that, even if you don't have, if you're not in Sunday school or whatever, but you can meet them on Facebook and you can begin to, you know, to talk on online and different things like that. And my time is up, and we'll have Goliath part two in 2 weeks. You know, it's kind of like, you know, like I was watching a television show and the next episode said in 2 weeks. So it's, you know, so next week, you'll pastor will be back, and then 2 weeks we'll have Goliath part two. And I want to emphasize not only the giant, but we have some lions and some bears here too that we need to deal with as well. All right, so, and actually I really kind of planned to talk about lions and bears today. Today was going to be the lions and bears sermon, but we never made it to the lions and bear, you know. And I don't want to go three parts, but you know, praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for everything that you're doing in our lives. And Father God, we just thank you today to just help us understand that when we're facing our own Goliaths in our own lives, help us understand, you know what, you're with us at all times, and that you're standing behind us, and that you're fighting with us. And Father, we just thank you that each and every person that's here and watching us online, that their attitude will change when they start having a Goliath come in their life, that they'll remember who they are in Christ Jesus. And they begin to, and they'll be able to come against that Goliath. And we thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.